CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're so glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour or so as we get together answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events from a biblical perspective, and what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? And so if you've been reading your Bible, come across something maybe you don't understand and you want to ask somebody, we'll tell you what the Bible says on that topic. Maybe not just a verse here or a verse there, but what does the Bible really say about that topic? So if you got a question, you want to call us, we're live radio, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. You can be part of the program today. And joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker that we've had on here before, as well as a longtime friend, Mike McIntosh from, I'm going to say Horizon Fellowship in San Diego, because Mike, you pastored that church for so many years, and I'm just so blessed that you're here with us. Hi and welcome.
Thank you, Michael. I sure appreciate that. Yeah, I still go to church there. It's a fun thing. I sit and listen to my son, and I take one or two pages of notes every Sunday that I'm there. And it's just wonderful to see the Lord still winning souls through that body of believers, and to be able to be free to travel and to speak all over the country.
You know, Mike, I know you're involved in so many things, especially with law enforcement and different things, and also praying for our nation. You know, we have, you know, people have always said this about every election, that this is the most important election, but this is going to be the end of America if this doesn't straighten out, because our borders are overrun, crime is rampant, drugs pouring across the border, the national debt so far out of control that even the Federal Reserve says it's unsustainable. So, Mike, you know, we're at crossroads. And, you know, one of the things that we know, when you're trapped, you got the Red Sea in front of you and you got mountains on both sides and you have Pharaoh's army behind, the only way out is up. I believe that's where we're at today. And I think the only way out is up. And so you've organized, prayer groups all across America, Pray for America. Tell us about it and how we can be part of it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's called the United States Prayer Force, and it came to me in ICU. I had to go through heart surgery to hear the Lord speak. That's how much of a knucklehead I am. And I realized we have a Air Force that fights our battles in the air. And then we started, under the last president, the United States Space Force. And I toyed with that for some time thinking, well, I don't know if God's going to let us take the sinful heart of man out of the Garden of Eden all the way into his universe. We already know what we are capable of, and we have weapons designed to be used in the Space Force. It began to realize what you just said. And I think it's not only the most important, I think it could be our final election, to be quite honest with you.
Yes, I think so.
From different angles. One of the top-selling movies right now is called Civil War, but it's modern-day Civil War of America today. And I've heard people around the country say there's coming a Civil War, actually. And I should say, nah, we don't need that. But there are people that are talking that, militia groups and, you know, people leaning right and people leaning left. So it dawned on me, let's get a United States prayer force, because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We don't need weapons. We're fighting against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. And the darkness is covering in our capital. So I thought, what if we could get 1 million people, Lord? I'd like to ask you for 1 million people. And let's just start praying every week. And that's how it got started. And when somebody signs up, they'll never be asked for money. They just write MikeMcIntosh.com, put their email in, and it'll never be sold or used for anything. And they'll immediately get a response. They'll start getting e-books on prayer, different authors to learn how to pray. and they'll get two or three texts a week from me, and it's basically things to specifically pray for. And then a couple of my granddaughters helped me, and we organized all the states of the union and put down the names from the Supreme Court on down and from the state court and the governors on down. And for Franklin Graham's tour, we put all 10 cities from the mayor to the city council to the sheriff to the chief of police. And we have everybody that's an elected official that's ruling over their powers, their principalities, and we pray for them. So people can zero in on their town, their state, and start praying by name. And God is honoring that. We're seeing police officers come to the Lord. Here's an example. Last Thursday, I set out a mailing, and one of the last things I closed with, pray for Washington, D.C., and pray for Virginia. And I don't have any clue why I said that, because there's other things more important, and we've prayed for those before. Well, I drive the 6 hours up to Visalia, speak to a men's conference about the Gethsemane man, as I call him, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how to pray like him. And a man comes up to me and says, I flew all the way from Virginia to be here this morning. I said, what? He says, I'm a ex-Marine and I'm a county sheriff. I said, you're kidding me. I have people praying for Virginia, and you fly all the way here to California to come to learn about prayer. That's the Lord. And he had no idea that I had asked a couple thousand people to start praying for his area. So it's a stretch for some people, Mike. Not everybody knows how to pray. I've been on the road for close to 2 years nonstop trying to give out free booklets on prayer. And it just seems the pastors are kind of busy for prayer, and Christians are a little lethargic and looking everywhere but to their knees and seeking God for repentance. And so to hear you say, this is very serious time. Yes, it is. So I'm asking from a million, if there's not that many anywhere near that right now. But I've got several pastors and their wives. We're going to converge in Washington, D.C. for a week before the election. And I have a major hotel chain that knows what we're doing, and they're sympathetic to the cause and are going to give us really good rates. And if we get lots of people, we'll circle in different hotels, the city, and just pray 24/7 at different shifts and worship the Lord all that week, and just see what God could do before the election and clear out the swamp. No man can drain it, but the Lord can definitely change it. And we'll call upon him to do the work, to make this a pure and an honest election.
You know, and I know, Mike, you work with Franklin Graham and others with the same heart. I know you had Wake Up America program, which was very good, the original Wake Up America. A lot of people have taken that name and used it for their own self. But, you know, this concern that we all have, because, you know, we have to live within our country. You know, we see, as an example, when the Palestinians voted in Hamas as their governance there in Palestine or in the Palestinian territories, the consequences of bad government, the consequences of bad decisions that government makes. And I think we need to be very much aware that no government is exempt from bad mistakes that will have long-term or eternal consequences. And I really believe that in these days that we live in, we need to be very much aware, not disregarding it, but the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we very much have a very evil time in our world right now. You know, people have asked, well, what's really wrong with America? I said, all you got to do is look at the movies that Hollywood's turning out. That'll pretty much tell you where the mindset, the heartset of America is. And I said, it's scary when you really stop to think about it. As you look at the movies, a lot of them were in the mid-50s versus what we see now. We realize that we are on the end. You see, you have to have certain, and this is where part of the problem is. People say, well, you know, the Bible, part of that Victorian age, blah, 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 blah. You know, we're free now. They don't realize that you have to have certain ingredients. And the Bible covers these ingredients. What are necessary for society or a country or families to exist? And you take those elements out of a nation, the family, for instance, the attack on the family we see right now, the nation will just disintegrate. And so this is where I believe the thing is. So it's a spiritual issue. And again, the farther we drift from God, the worse we're going to be. I really like what Ronald Reagan said years ago. He says, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, we will be a nation gone under. And this is exactly what's happening, and we can see it. 8888, ask the Ascends the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We have Sean on the line, Pleasant Grove, Utah. Hi, welcome.
Howdy, friend. So I got a question about 2 Kings 12:13, and it's parallel passage in 2 Chronicles 24:14. It's the same account where Joash is rebuilding the temple, but they both say different things. So just wondering what you guys' thoughts are on that.
Okay, Mike, any thoughts?
Well, he's ahead of me. I didn't hear what he said about the – there's two different verses he wants us to look at, one in 2 Kings.
Yeah, they're about Joash, I believe, restoring the temple. Both say something a little bit different. 2 Kings 12:13, and I'm turning to it right now. And then what was the other one?
The second one is 2 Chronicles. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
2 Chronicles 24:14.
Okay. 2 Kings 12:13. We're getting to it here.
It's talking about building the temple in context. And in 13, it says, however, there were not made for the house of the Lord basins of silver, trimmers, sparkling bowls, trumpets, or any articles of gold or articles of silver from the money brought into the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the workmen, and they repaired the house of the Lord with it. That's that verse. And then Chronicles, you know, it's interesting, Mike, as you know, that over in Jerusalem, in the old city, there is the Temple Institute.
And yes, I've been there.
For many, many times, years, have already made all the clothing for the priests. They've made the brazen altar. They're ready for the temple to go up and put all the utensils in. And this question is a good question because it shows that the Bible isn't disagreeing with itself. And in chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles, in verse 4 that Sean brought out, surely at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. And the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? What part, I don't pick up yet, where what part do you see that's disagreeing with one another? What part is that, Sean?
So I think you might have read the wrong verse in the 2 Chronicles. I got my Bible out now. So. Verse 14.
It's 2 Chronicles 24, what?
14.
Oh, okay.
And when they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king Jehoiada, and they made from it the articles for the house of the Lord, articles serving the offering, the spoons, the vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada.
The only difference I see there in is that second verse you just read, that after does it say after they finished? Isn't that what it says at the beginning of that verse?
Let's see. And after they had finished, yes.
The other verse in Kings doesn't say they had finished. In fact, they didn't. The men didn't finish the work until they got those offerings, and that's what paid them so they could go on and work. And in Chronicles, it's saying now after they were finished, then this other money was there to finish the utensils that were not taken care of. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. And by the way, that's a very good business practice to pay your help. And then they continue to work on stuff. In other words, it wasn't till everything was done, then they got paid. They continue to pay them as they went along. Once it was done, then they took then that money and the silver, gold, and made that into the implements. Hope that helps.
All right. Thank you, guys.
God bless you. And again, you might want to circle after it was finished. I think there's the answer to your question. Hope that helps, Sean. Let's go to Alberta. So, by the way, stay on the line. Send you out some books, some DVDs for calling in. Always a good thing to share with your friends. Let's go to Alberta, Georgia. Hi, Will.
Well, yeah, good afternoon, evening, gentlemen. I don't know if it's a dead horse, the question, but I watched the different videos on YouTube, like it's the Gospel Broadcasting Network or the Authentic Christian Podcasting, and they teach against the word save. But the Bible teaches that Christ died for our past, present, and future sins. He gives us eternal life. We're kept by God's power, not by my power. God is holding on to me, not me holding on to God, because I'm a little baby, and if I'm dangling, God has got his mighty grip holding on to me. So how can those who teach you can lose it, and those who teach that save always save, it's a biblical doctrine, but those who abuse it give the save always save doctrine a bad rap, a bad name. So how can you?
Well, very quickly, yes, God does forgive us from our past, present, and future sins if we ask. Very clearly, if you go to the book of John, Epistle to John, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We also find scripture that says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is ongoing. I always like what Chuck Smith said. He said that Jesus said, if you abide in me, I really believe that, again, as we've talked about this before, and Mike, I'm glad you're with us today, because I know Pastor Chuck Stand, and before I even knew Chuck Smith, I had come to the same conclusions that, as an example, in Revelation chapter 3, how do you get your name blotted out of the book of life? It had to be in there to get blotted out, the same as it is for Revelation chapter 22. If you take away the words of this prophecy, God will take your name from the book of life. Now, remember, again, as Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy, he brags about Demas, what a great brother in the Lord he was, how helpful he was. And then we get to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, and he says, Demas, having loved this present world, has departed. And if you look at that in the Greek, it ain't good. We have to understand that, yes, we're forgiven, but we want to maintenance that relationship. Again, Jesus said, abide in me, I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so your thoughts, Mike?
Well, I was just going to add that second half that you just did, abide in me and I in you. There are a lot of people that are even teaching. Doesn't mean they're really a spiritual person, but they're not abiding in Christ. And so I listened to you calling from Georgia, and you see that Jesus is everything in your life. Well, unfortunately, a wolf in sheep's clothing does not see everything in their life is because of Jesus. They are works orientated. They're really ego orientated, self-serving orientated. And the value of you, the audience, is not valuable at all. They could care less. They just want to stroke their ego. And you're absolutely right to hang on to him, because apart from him, we can do nothing, nothing at all. And even though it says Christian, I think I wrote down, you said it's a Christian podcast, doesn't mean that it's been born again by the Spirit of God just because of the name. So keep your discernment honed and sharp, that you'll know right from wrong, and you'll know the Word of God stronger than those that are teaching the false word.
Yeah, and because, again, if we're abiding in Christ, there's, you know, we're forgiven. We realize that we're sinners saved by grace. It's when we don't, and we get out there and see, again, remember, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, First Corinthians 6. And he said, do not be deceived. He's writing to Christians, not to a brothel, not to a bar, not to a house of ill repute. He's writing to a church. And he said, do not be deceived. Evidently, there was somebody or groups of people trying to deceive that church in thinking that you could have certain lifestyles and be, and God's perfectly cool with it. He said, they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. He said, don't be deceived. What does that mean? And again, I always like the book of Jude. It says, now who is able to keep you from falling? And people always quote that. See, he's able to keep me from falling. But the context of that verse is the rest of the book of Jude. And I always like what Chuck Smith always said. He said, God is able to keep you from falling, but are you willing? That's what the rest of the context of the verse is about. Because he says how God saved an entire group of people out of Egypt and let them all die in the wilderness because they refused his promises. So we need to be careful I don't want to say easy believism, because I don't really believe that's a proper term, but I do want to be careful that we once we're born again, we realize there's a responsibility. And yes, if we truly are born again, I believe that there's a change in our diet. However, the Bible is pretty replete. That means more in it than you take out of it, with people who started off and didn't end well. Again, in the New Testament, old Demas, having loved this present world, has departed. I think that's a pretty serious indictment there against him. Mike, any last thoughts?
Yes. King David said in the Psalms, Lord, forgive me of my sins. But the one that catches me that I have to be very careful with my own life is forgive me of my sins and those that are presumptuous. Sometimes just in natural life, we can presume something. And that in God's eyes, apparently to King David, was very integral to him walking closer to the Lord, is not be presumptuous, that we can sin and it's just obvious, but not to our heart. So abiding in Christ makes you more sensitive against sin and makes you more sensitive, like what you've just said about your walk with the Lord. You cling on to him. You're just a baby and you hold on as tight as you can. So realize that there's subtlety to sin, and a false teacher is very presumptuous.
So I hope that helps.
Yes. Another quick question. I don't want to take you long.
Well, that's right.
The problem is, like I was talking with Christians, is they beg the sinner to come to Christ, right? And the sinner says, no, no, no. Then when finally he does come to Christ, then the Christian starts criticizing, well, he's a false convert. Or he never, are you really truly saved? Are you walking with the Lord really? So see, that, I mean, what's the purpose of trying to beg him to come to Christ? Then when he finally,
I always like, Alberto, what Greg Laurie used to say: the minute that a Christian gets saved, they need to put a sign around their neck under construction, because we are going to make mistakes. I mean, you look at the disciples, how many mistakes they made. Peter, I'll never deny you, Lord. And three times Peter denied him just as Jesus said he would. We look all the way through the Bible. We see great men do dumb things. We're all under construction. There's a difference between, I believe, willful disobedience and the goofy stuff that we do in this life because we think that's going to be a shortcut or whatever. But being in a position of rebellion to Christ, I believe is what this is, even as Christians. I know people like this. I think everybody listening right now probably knows Christians that have accepted Lord that are shacked up with their girlfriend or their boyfriend. Now, very clearly, again, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the book of Galatians, it says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we have a conflict here. Either the Bible is spoofing us, or what the Bible says is true, and modernism has replaced God's word and saying, well, sin isn't all that bad. good isn't all that good. It's kind of how you look at it. And the Bible's really not exactly accurate. It's kind of a picture frame that we look through to find God. That's wicked modernism. The Bible's very clear what's going to inherit the kingdom of heaven and what's not. Mike, last thoughts again?
I just want to ask a question. Is your name Alberto?
Yes.
From Germany. Alberto, I hear a hurt in your heart, and I'm wondering, is there a church you're going to or you used to go to that has hurt your heart by their teaching?
Well, I attend the Church of God of Cleveland Tennessee organization, Spanish Church, and they teach you lose your salvation. But if that was so, I asked the pastor, if that was so, how many sins you committed since your day you got saved to the present day? And you still say, then you say, yes, well, that means you're a hypocrite because you're teaching theology, you're going to lose your salvation, but in practicality, you're practicing eternal security. So you always say, see the contradiction there?
Yeah, I do. Here's my thoughts for you, because I can hear there's hurt in your voice. There's hurt in your heart. And these people are wrong. They're called legalists. They like to control the congregation. So they put them under the law and they give them all sorts of things that confuse them. And then they feel like they're not spiritual people. And I want to ask you to do something from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, if we'll forgive, we shall be forgiven. And I think that you would make a good Bible teacher because you are willing to pull the sword out and say, this is what it says. But I think that the Lord would like to cleanse all that past and let you have a pure heart, forgiveness, and he wants to use you as a good Bible teacher.
Amen. Alberto, we're coming up on a break, and we don't want anybody to go away. When we come back, we'll have a whole lot more Every Man Answer. Following these messages, we'll be right back.
How do we change a nation? One heart at a time. The Ministry of Preborn shares heartbeats and hearts by loving women in crisis and leading them to Christ. When this mother came to our Preborn Network clinic, she was scared and not sure if she could afford another child.
It was just a scary time for us, having my daughter, how that would impact our lives. When I came here, it was just so amazing to come to an environment where someone would actually pray for me and guide me through my battles that I was facing during that time.
After receiving love, support, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, this mom chose life for her daughter. To learn how you can be a part of sharing heartbeats and shaping hearts for Christ, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with Mike McIntosh from San Diego, California. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, and we were talking with Alberto. You know, and again, for everyone, I do not believe anyone ever loses their salvation. I absolutely believe that. However, I do believe, according to what Jesus said, you can leave it. And we certainly find an individual that did that in Matthew chapter 24, said, my Lord delays his coming. begins to eat and drink with the drunken, beat his fellow man, the lord of that servant will come when he's not expecting him, give him his portion with the hypocrites, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, I tell people, don't think I'm going to try to do one over on Jesus. And then, as I have also shared, we have Revelations 2 and 3, where Jesus is writing corrective letters to the churches. Now, if it doesn't make any difference, then where does Jesus get off trying to tell the churches to repent, since it really doesn't make any difference? Well, it does. And Jesus said, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. If it doesn't make any difference, then why did Jesus say that? And so I believe that we need to take our relationship with God seriously. Again, I don't believe anybody ever loses their salvation, but I absolutely believe you can leave it. Again, Chuck Smith used to say this. He said, if I leave my car keys on the table, I know where they are. But if I lose my car keys, I don't know where they are, and I can spend a day looking for them. You see, I believe there's a big difference between losing something and leaving something. And I believe, again, when we look at the corrective letters of the epistles by the disciples and Paul, we find this compelling to not leave, to stay strong in Christ. Mike, any last thoughts?
No, you've covered it.
Well, Alberto, God bless you.
Thank you, Alberto.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes.
And again, I just encourage people, read the book of Jude. That's what this book is about. Gives everybody a pretty clear picture of what's going on, as well as the book of James. Hope that helps. Stay online. Alberto, send you out some things I think you'll enjoy. Again, 8888, ask CSN's the number to call. We're going to go to Sam, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, welcome. Sam, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you.
How may we help?
I just want to know, how does a person know that they are indwelled by the Holy Spirit?
Well, the Bible tells me to look for love and power, those two things. I know many Pentecostal churches say, well, unless you can pray in tongues, you're not spirit-filled. That is not found in the Bible. That is made up. Yes, there is the gift of tongues, but there are many other gifts as well. But the one thing you look for is love, because, again, by nature, we don't care if people go to hell. I mean, I've got my salvation, too bad about you. But when God gets a hold of our heart, we realize we have a big lost world that needs Jesus really bad. Mike, your thoughts?
Sam, are you still there?
Yes.
I want to ask you a question. Are you asking this question for yourself or in general?
Well, both.
Okay. I'd like you to get your Bible out and look at chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. And in verse 19 to verse 21, you see a very clear picture to know if the Spirit is in you. First of all, in verse 19, it says that the works, plural, of the flesh are these, plural, and it names adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, and it names them. That's the works of our flesh. But then it comes to, but the Spirit, singular, is love, singular. And then it has a comma, and it says peace, joy, long-suffering, faith, temperance, and against such there's no law. Here's the issue. When they wrote the New Testament into English, there was no word for love that showed the depth of love that God has to send his son to die on the cross for Sam in Texas. So they came up with this new Greek word, agape, which is basically a divine sacrificial love that man doesn't have. They had two other words. They had eros, which was a sensual love, sexual response. And the other one was phileo, which was a brotherly love, a caring and a person that looks after other people. But as far as God's love, that's the fruit. It's nothing we work at like with our flesh. When I met the Lord, I gave my heart to him at 26 years old. I was dying. And he said to me, Michael, you believed in me, but you've never received me. And I found the difference the minute I said, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Take complete control of my life. And I want you to be my Lord. And when he filled me with his spirit, I've never been the same man ever since. And the life of the flesh that I lived as a very carnal, very fleshly man, I produced a lot of flesh out of my human factory. But the moment that I started reading the Bible on a daily basis, my spirit started producing love. And that showed up in all the attributes that I did not have. Much patience. I wasn't really caring. I wasn't kind. I wasn't temperance. I drank beer like a fish drinking water. And I want to encourage you. You've been turned away, I've got a feeling, by church and religion, but you have a heart that wants to know God. And that's why Mike and I are here, and the Lord has put the three of us together, plus several thousand that are praying for you right now. And all you have to do, and you will know it, is be honest in your own heart and ask the Lord to forgive you and to fill you with his Holy Spirit. The Bible says no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. So you can go to church and you cannot say he's my Lord unless you've been born again. Have you ever done that, or would you like to do it right now with Mike and me?
No, I have done that.
Okay. So are you reading your Bible?
Yes.
Very much. There was recently a poll by the Pew Organization Research, one of the most reputable in the country, like the Gallup, and they asked questions to men and women about their religion, about their faith. And they asked American men, and they had like five or six choices, and 64% of the American men responded with, I seldom or never pray.
Wow.
If you're not praying, you're not feeling the Spirit, and he's not responding. If you're not reading the Word of God, you're not feeding the Spirit, and you're not feeling his presence. If you're grateful and thankful that you've been born again, then you let not only your face know it, but you let your heart know it and your neighbor know it. Is that easy for you to understand?
Well, I have a pretty good understanding of the Bible. I think it's having faith in the Word of God. That, you know, if you know the Bible well enough that you are convinced that it is the Word of God, then you take the testimony of the Bible, the scriptures that say that, you know, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Yes.
In, is that not right?
Yes. In Revelation 12, it says there's three ways that the Christian can overcome the work of the devil. And the first one is the blood of the Lamb. So if you believe what you're reading in the Bible and you confess him as Lord, you believe the blood was shed instead of your blood. Second thing we overcome the devil is by the word of our testimony. And when we can't give our testimony that the Holy Spirit's working in our life, it raises a question for me. The third thing is we overcome the works of the devil by we love not our life unto death. Otherwise, we are living for God and living for others. And there seems to be a hang up with testimony. And that, Mike, I think maybe you have some insight for him there.
Well, you know, again, I believe that, again, it's a daily relationship with God whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Mm-hmm. And if it's a strange relationship, in other words, we really can't say daddy. If we really can't say thy kingdom come, thy will be done on a daily basis, then I think that's where we need to restore ourselves back to the purposes that God has for us. You see, by nature, we all want to live life our way. I think Frank Sinatra said it best, I want to live life my way. The problem is that's not God's way. And the thing is, there's only room in our life for one master. It's either going to be us or it's going to be God. So when we become a Christian, we say no longer I, but Christ that lives within me, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's, I believe, really what we have to look at and to put that right. Mike, any last thoughts?
Well, I think of the verse, Sam, that says, faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without it, it's impossible. And then the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you're reading the Bible and you're absorbing it. And maybe there's an area of faith to just accept that the Holy Spirit is in you. And it isn't necessarily a quote unquote feeling that you're looking for. He may be looking for your faith to kick in. And I just love the Lord. So I start every day and end every day for 54 years of just being in love with him. But I've never, ever witnessed one second where I didn't sense the Holy Spirit was in me. And so I want to pray for you for that, if I could. Would you mind?
Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. Lord, I want to thank you for Sam. I hear the honesty and the sincerity in his voice. And I know he's very serious about this, but it might be that he's not really assured. It's just that his faith hasn't accepted that it doesn't have to be a feeling. He's by faith read your word. He's accepted Jesus. He's actually confessed by his mouth, his lips. And Father, now he just needs to know your assurance. Would you let your Holy Spirit's love baptize him right now, immerse him, as if he were standing underneath a 600-foot liquid waterfall of love. Just come on him, Lord, and splash him and just refresh him and take the questions and just refill him with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And he needs the strength to know the Holy Spirit is with him.
Yes, God.
Let your love just cover a multitude of sin and let him find the peace that passes all understanding that will rule in his heart. That it's not a religion. It's not going to church. It's not just reading his Bible. It's walking with you. Just let him enjoy you as his best friend and his Abba Father.
Yes.
And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Sam, I'm so glad you called.
I have another question. Could I ask it?
Yeah.
Well, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, enter by the straight gate, the narrow gate. I forget. That's just how that verse goes. But it's in Matthew, and there's another verse in Luke that's very similar to it. Where Christ is saying, enter ye by the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it.
Yep. That's
okay.
Right.
So how do you reconcile that verse with Romans 6:23, Ephesians 2:8-9, and other verses that say that we put our complete faith and trust in Christ's finished work on the cross?
Well, I believe that, again, the way that we come to Christ, it's not within man to live righteously. And so it requires the Holy Spirit to cause us to walk in the ways of the Lord. That's what the whole Bible is about and what happens when we don't. You know, it's interesting. There was a worldly band a couple of years ago named AC/DC. They wrote a song called Highway to Hell. And then it's also interesting to me that in the mid-70s, the band called Led Zeppelin wrote Stairway to Heaven. Isn't that weird? They were anticipating the travel on both roads. You see, I believe even the world realizes that there's a way that appears right into a man, but in the end, there's death. And so I really think that when we look at the overall picture, yes, straight is the way, narrow is the road, and few there be that find it. But when you find it and you're on it, I believe this is one of the great things, as we talked about earlier with Alberto, now is able to keep you from falling. If you're willing, I believe God will keep you on that straight and narrow. This is where I say we have a relationship with our Father, our Father. If you're estranged from your dad, the last person you want to talk to, if you're in rebellion to your family, the last person you want to talk to is your dad. But, you know, if you're right with your family, you want to talk to your dad. And I really believe that this is a good indicator of where we're at spiritually in our relationship with God and whether we're on the right road or not. And that's what repentance is. Repentance means turning 180 degrees and going the other way. And this is why I believe it's so important that the message of the gospel today universally has to include repentance. It isn't just put Jesus in your pocket and climb to the top, but the Bible says repent. Well, I can't repent on my own. I have to have God's help. But if there's a willingness in your heart to repent, I believe God will fortify you and cause you to see sin the way God does. Mike, your thoughts.
Well, Sam, I just picked up on something by your question. The verses that you quoted to us, Matthew 7, and let's just take Ephesians 2, are two different stories, two different thoughts. One, Matthew is telling you you're going to be on a trip and you have crossroads coming up and your map will be, don't take the broad road, take the narrow road. Then you're going to go on a very narrow path that's difficult. Very few people go there, but they all, the masses, take the broad road. But you're going to come to a straight gate. He's telling you how to walk into heaven and not be disturbed by religions or false prophets. In Ephesians, I always like to take not just one or two verses and look at that, because you have to have a context. And those verses in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 are out of context without verse 7 and 10. And I think this is something that you're missing that will help you. It says in verse 7, in the ages to come, he might show you the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And this is what you mentioned, verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. See, there's no conflict there. He's already seeing you finished and in heaven, because in verse 6, he says you've been raised up together and God has made us to sit together in heavenly places. So we're there in his eyes, not in our eyes. And I just made a 7-hour drive from a men's conference and I had to bypass about 100 miles of the shortest way because the traffic was so bad. But my map on my computer said, turn left on this freeway and go this way instead. And it saved me 2 hours. So you've got some eggs mixed up with bananas and oranges. You are seated with Christ if you've accepted him. Matthew's telling you what to look for. And I was in a near-death experience not too long ago, a couple years ago, in surgery. And I was so happy that I could call out the name of Jesus and everything lit up to me. And I knew I was going to the light and not to the dark side. So I want you to just be cautious a little bit that you don't have to question everything. But if you read the whole counsel of God, then you see you're already there with him. And you read the rest of it and you see, oh, now I've got help of getting to him, not by works, but just what it's going to look like when you get to your time that you're going to step into heaven. You don't want to take a broad road. You want to take a narrow road. And when that opens up, you're all alone. Nobody else is going to be with you.
Amen. Sam, I hope that answers it for you.
People that quote that, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, say that indicates that only a few people will be saved. But if you do a word study on few and many, at the end of Isaiah 53, he justified many.
Well, God's heart is that the whole world would be saved. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. He sent his only begotten. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish, have everlasting life. God's heart is to save the world.
Yes.
It's man's rebellion that prevents him from being saved. It's man's unwillingness to admit that there is a God. See, we all think we're God. That's one of the first things you got to repent from in your life to come to Christ is you're not God. And that God has to be the one that directs and guides your life. See, and that's the point. When the Bible says he saves us from our sins, that sin is rebellion to God that we inherited from Adam and Eve that we're continuing. Again, somebody said one time that sinning doesn't make you a sinner. Sinning proves what you are. So this is why we have to go back to that in which God has called us to do in that daily relationship with him, Sam. I hope that helps. Stay in line. We'll send you out a couple books, couple of DVDs. I'd like to get a couple more calls in here. And so we're going to go. Sam, thanks again for the call. Let's go to Kim in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hey there. I've called about this before, but I really haven't gotten a good understanding about this. When scripture teaches, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And obviously the thief on the cross believed, he repented, and he was saved. But a lot of people believe, as evidenced by, I can't remember what verse it is right now, but where, the people said, in that day people will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy? Didn't I cast out demons? And obviously this is somebody who's in the church. Is there some distinction in the word belief?
Absolutely. The Bible says the demons believe and tremble. That doesn't mean they're saved. Acknowledgement is not what saves you. The word believe is, I use the word like if you're going to rappel down the side of a mountain and you say, I have this rope and I'm going to hold on this rope as I rappel down the side of a mountain. I believe in this rope. You're not saying I believe it's a rope. I've seen a lot of ropes that laid out in the sun that are sun rotted that wouldn't hold up 5 pounds. But you're saying, I believe this is going to hold me up. So the word there, believe, means basically put all your faith, hope, and trust in, not simply acknowledgement of, as again, John 3:16. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, that's very important, Kim. Just acknowledging and believing are two different things. Let me give you a personal example. And when I was going to college, I was running for student body president. So I took every turn I could to be in front of the student body. And in those days, the riots were bigger than what they are right now at Columbia and some of the other schools. And I thought, who's a nice person? I thought, Jesus. Well, I knew the Communist Party USA pretty well where I was going to school and the professors who were communists. And I got up in front of the student body and I said, you let anybody speak to you. Do you know this man here from University of California is a communist? You know this man over here? He's a communist. All these people have spoken to you are communist professors. Did you know that? And people got kind of shook at that. So when I finished, I said, the next time I'm going to hear is that Jesus Christ is walking down Harbor Boulevard and is going to come up here and speak. You're letting anybody walk up here. Well, to me, the name of Jesus was a nice name. Well, when I finished, about 6 or 8 Christian hippies came to me and they said, Mike, we want to ask you one question. What is that? Are you a Christian? And I said, well, why would you ask a stupid question like that? Of course I am. I'm an American. See, I believe, but I never received. And when I received, then is when life really lit up for me. And it's like that man who just left. He said, if you look up the word many in the Old Testament, well, you've got to, if you're going to look up the word in old, you got to look it up in the new because the Greek and the Hebrew are two different languages. And you may just find something in a strong, exhaustive concordance that would explain your type of questions. So you sound like a student to me, and I'd like to encourage you to keep asking questions and looking, because that's what's going to make you grow into a godly, godly, godly woman.
Jim, I hope that helps.
Question. Yeah, the reason I asked the question is I hear there's a break coming up. Do we have time or is the show about over?
The show is about over, Kim, and for William and Bruce and the rest, please, we want you to call us back tomorrow. Kim, you're welcome to call us back tomorrow as well, if you like, and we'll finish up on this. And again, I want to thank everybody that called in. Mike, thank you so much for being part of the program. Remember, give them the address, Mike, real quick, of your address again to the prayer group.
MikeMcIntosh.com. Just sign up for the United States Prayer Force.
Amen. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
To Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.